The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to your podcast. I'm Greg.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Wendy.
And this is House Podcast Go, Wheel of Time Edition.
This week, we wanted to give you an introduction to our upcoming podcast on the brand new American epic fantasy television series, Wheel of Time, which is set to premiere on Amazon Prime Video this November 19th.
We are very excited to cover this very much anticipated series based on Robert Jordan's novel series, coincidentally called Wheel of Time. The first three episodes will drop on the same day, November 19th, and then we will have an episode every Friday with the finale on December 24th.
And we may end up having a couple of episodes, a couple of podcasts drop the first couple of weeks. But we'll get caught up relatively quickly. So I'm Greg. I have guested on a couple of podcasts on Walking Dead casts, covering the kingdom. Been on Wilhelm with Ben. I really enjoy podcasting, but I'm relatively new to it. I really enjoy digging into the different types of shows that we've covered and whatnot. And Wheel of Time is something that I've really enjoyed for a long time.
Yeah, so I'm Ben. I have done a couple stints on Podcastica, Podcastica programming. I have guested with Jason on Walking Dead cast, and even House Podcastica when he's covered Cobra Kai. I did a stint with Rima where we covered The Stand on Strange Indeed. And as you mentioned, I have Wilhelm, which is my own podcast, as well as a number of other podcasts myself. As far as Wheel of Time goes, I did read a couple of the first novels of the series many, many years ago, so there's quite a lot. I've forgotten more than I remember. We'll just put it that way. But I remember loving what I read, so I'm very anxious to dive into this series, and hopefully it's going to jog my memory on some of the stuff from the times when I read the books. But Wendy.
Hi, I'm Wendy. I got into podcasting as a super fan of the Walking Dead cast and Podcastica. I started getting invited to guest hosts on a variety of shows, mostly House Podcastica's coverage of Game of Thrones. And most recently, I hosted House Podcastica's coverage of Handmaid's Tale for season 4 with Jason Kabasi and our friend Daphne. It was an amazing experience, and I will definitely be back to podcast on season 5 whenever that comes out. I'm really excited to be doing this. I have not read the books, but as soon as Greg introduced me to the first trailer, I was in. It looks amazing, and I'm really excited about this. And maybe it's because I'm involved in it, but I feel like it's got a lot of buzz right now, and I feel like this could be the next big thing.
Yeah, this definitely is like this type of story. I've read all 14 books a number of times, all of them at least twice. The first 10 or so, probably half a dozen times or so. I haven't read it since probably 2018, but it started back in 1990, and then I think the last book came out in 2012. A fact about this is that Robert Jordan actually he passed back in, I think, 2007, and he and his wife, who was his editor, actually hand-selected Brandon Sanderson to finish the series of books. And you can tell that it's a different writer, but all of the themes are the same. And I thought that Brandon Sanderson actually finished out the job pretty well. I'm really, really excited. This is like back in my formative years. I started reading it when I think I was 16. And I remember just falling in love with it. And I've been waiting for them to come to figure out a way to bring it to some sort of media. And I am just absolutely thrilled to do it. The big stuff that I'm most excited about is that, one, there's such depth of characters. The story is a Lord of the Rings style. A lot of traveling, a lot of walking, and then a lot of interactions with unsavory or flat out evil characters, monsters, stuff like that. And if you enjoy Lord of the Rings, I think you'll probably enjoy this. And the scenery and the just like the vistas from the trailers look absolutely amazing.
I think I wrote that it looks like Lord of the Rings meets Snow White meets Game of Thrones. It looks really cool.
Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Are you talking like Snow White and the Huntsman?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because it'd be weird if
yeah,
it was
like a dark version. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be weird if it was animated with seven dwarves. Yeah, I mean, I can see that comparison. I mean, there are definitely some people that are very critical of Game of Thrones, more particularly because of the way that it ended. But up until the ending, it was an amazing series. So making a comparison to Game of Thrones, I don't see a problem in that at all.
No, I think it set the bar for these types of epic fantasy series.
I'll tell you what it really does when you make the comparison of how it's very Lord of the Ring-ish in the trailer. Amazon is also doing a Lord of the Rings series that's going to be coming out next year. So when you look at the quality of this one and you realize how epic it is and how epic it looks, and then you remember that Lord of the Rings is the most expensive produced show of all time, it's like, okay, if this looks this good, how freaking epic is Lord of the Rings going to look when that comes out?
Speaking of, Wayne Yip, who directs two of the episodes in The Wheel of Time first season, is actually directing four of the Lord of the Rings TV series, which are filming right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Greg, I'm curious, as somebody who, again, like I'm of the perspective where I don't remember a lot. I'm hoping to watch this to jog my memory, which isn't exactly the best approach because I'm sure it's going to be condensed a lot for a television series.
Yep.
Especially from what I'm reading in that the first eight episodes are going to focus on the first two books. I mean, in one season, you're going to knock out two of the 14 books. There's a lot that's going to be missing.
But especially for someone who is looking at it through the, you know, through the looking glass of time, what I remember are big flick things. They're the kind of the big scope, like, hey, and I'm going to throw out a couple of locations and interactions. There is the introduction to the characters in the small village where a majority of them grew up. So I remember that. I remember the reason that they had to leave because something went wrong. Well, just without any spoilers, something went wrong. They had to go to a major city in order to kind of progress towards, you know, and then on the way they stopped in somewhere. I'm just going to call it, you know, similar to like the Mines of Moria in Lord of the Rings, where bad stuff happened. And then they have another goal they had to go meet, or that, you know, oh, hey, because we did this, something bad happened and we have to go get this person, you know, stitched up or whatever. So, I mean, actually very similar to like World of Warcraft or whatever. Oh, hey, since you're here, let's go ahead and do this. Or because this happened, you got to go do that. So the big flick stuff, I think that they're going to keep a couple of the major locations and the major plot points. But I would say, I didn't realize that the first season was the first two books. Given that I, like the way that I think my way through the books is like the endings of each of the books is how I classify them. Like I know where they are at the end of the first book. I know where they are at the end of the second book. Do I remember all of the things that happened in there? No, but I remember kind of big events.
And well, so, well, I want to also just, not to interrupt, but I also want to say too, like, I don't know for sure that it is covering the first two books.
Okay.
This is purely going off of the episode titles.
Yep.
Because what they're saying is, you know, the Leave Taking, Shadow Waiting, and A Place of Safety, which is the first three episodes, which are the ones that are going to be released on the 19th, they're all chapters from the first book, Eye of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Dragon Reborn, which is
the title of the third book. Yep.
Title with, well, no, that's the title of the second book.
Nope, it's the title of the third book. The Great Hunt is the title of the second book.
The Great Hunt, yep, you're right, sorry.
No worries.
But The Dragon Reborn, I think, is also a chapter in...
Yeah.
In the second book.
Yep.
So it's leading a lot of people to believe that those first three episodes, which are all going to be coming out at the same time, are based on the first book, and then once it goes weekly, then it's going to be into the story that the second book tells.
Just thinking my way through it, like I said, if I think of big ideas, and looking at, you know, and I'm trying not to look too deep into it, but there are certain characters and whatnot that are only in one episode, and it's like the first episode. So I think that they will leave their hometown in that first episode, and then they will travel through. And I, you know, if just with the blueprint of these are things that are going to happen in the, if it's the first book in the first three or four episodes, I can kind of think of the big set pieces and the big locations where they would go. And by God, I am looking forward to it.
Just from the trailer, the sets look amazing and epic. It really looks like the production value is really good, and I'm really excited about that. They look really amazing.
Oh, you're telling me. I mean, the vistas of one of the cities, I mean, basically just reminded me of, what is it, Elvendar?
What, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It looks amazing.
It's the elvish city in Lord of the Rings, and you're just like, oh my God, that is shockingly beautiful. And I will say that I'm kind of like, man, all these people are real pretty. It's basically they have a bunch of models growing up in this small town. Good.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say that's one of the things that actually really excites me about this series. Not the fact that they're all models living in a small town. Like that doesn't excite me at all.
That's so exciting.
Is, with the exception of Rosamund Pike, it's literally a cast full of relatively unknown people who have only been acting for maybe 2 or 3 years
in the U.S.
No, when you check their IMDb, they all started no later than 2016, 2017.
Right. So, yeah. And so the ones that outside of the, I'll call them the grown-ups, outside of the grown-ups, the one that I saw that had actual credits in the U.S. was...
Zoe Robbins.
Zoe Robbins, Madeline Madden, she was in Dora and the Lost City, which... And I went and watched the trailer because I was like, really? A Dora the Explorer movie? And...
You didn't know about the Dora the Explorer movie
I think
the trailers were everywhere.
I don't remember when it came out, but I think I like heard about it like from kind of like just like my side view and didn't even pay attention to it. But so I actually went and watched the trailer and I actually saw Madeline Madden in the show, and I'm like, maybe I'll watch this just to see what kind of acting chops she's got, because she had some pretty sassy one-liners in that movie or in the trailer.
But I mean, like, I like the fact that, with, like I said, with the exception of Rosamund Pike, this is a cast full of people that I don't recognize, because sometimes when you're watching something as big and as epic as this, that can kind of take you away from it when you're looking at a face you recognize.
Like, your expectations are absolutely inflated.
Mm-hmm. Or you're thinking of them in a different role.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The only outside of, like, I mean, we keep saying Rosamund Pike, but I mean, you know, Rosamund Pike from Gone Girl is the only thing that I remember her in where I was just like, holy crap, that lady can act.
She was in Jack Reacher, and she was also in James Bond, Die Another Day.
She was also in The World's End with Simon Pegg. So, I mean,
she's
been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah. I know she's excellent. Popular, but yeah. the one that I remember her from, or that I'm like, oh, God, this is when I first noticed her, when I went, oh, holy crap, she can do some stuff, was Gone Girl. That also had a lot to do with the writing of that movie, which was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I'm a fan.
With the ones that I did notice on IMDb, Michael McElhatton, something like that. He played Bruce Bolton in Game of Thrones. Daniel Henney, actually, he plays Lan Mandragoran, and he's actually pretty well featured in the trailer. He's the Asian fellow with the samurai sword. He was actually Agent Zero in the Wolverine Origins movie.
I think more specifically the five kids are what I'm referring to are the relatively unfamiliar faces.
Absolutely. The only one that I saw things that I might have seen was Madeline Madden. I don't know what Zoe Robbins has been in. I gotta probably
She was a Power Ranger.
Yeah, that was a 2018 Power Ranger, and I couldn't. I mean, she looks very much like Lisa Bonet, Black Christmas. She was in Black Christmas in 2019. But other than that,
I saw Sophie Olenato is in it. I don't know how important her role is, but she's great. She was in Hotel Rwanda, and she was in Britannia. Anybody watch Britannia? That's like a bizarre but epic show that's really good and really bizarre. That's the only way I can describe it, but she's really good in that.
Yeah, I did notice that she's another one of the grown-ups.
Yeah, she plays Swan Sanchez.
Yeah,
Sanchez.
Yeah, she's an important character. She's pretty
good.
Significant.
Okay, she's really good in Britannia.
I think she'll probably do pretty well at this, especially if some of the characteristics hold true. I'm super excited to not only watch the show but to be able to sit and talk about it.
Yeah, me as well. I'm looking forward to. You know, like I said, I may not remember much about the book series, but I remember enjoying them. So that's all I really needed to be able to get excited for the series.
Oh, that's great. I actually went and looked at the directors of the first season. So I'm gonna butcher, bust out my my cleaver, and I'm gonna butcher some of these names. But Uta Brasewicz. Wayne Yip, Sally Richardson Whitfield, and Sanaa Amri. They are the four directors for the seven episodes that are listed on IMDb. And they are, like, each of them have, like, Stranger Things or, Dexter, or, like, they're all quality shows that they've already directed for. And I didn't even look at if they'd done writing on them or anything like that.
So they've directed some well-known, some well-known stuff.
I feel like they went and got some pretty solid people to, Uta Brasewicz has, directed, some episodes of Hung, United States of Terra, LAX, The Wire. I mean, back in 2002, 2004. And she directed 23 episodes. So, I mean, like, and The Wire is, generally considered one of the best shows ever on TV. So
they're trusted. I mean, and that's important.
And they spent the money.
Yeah. Yeah. They opened that, they got that Amazon, pocketbook. Jeff Bezos money. And they were like, hey, let's make this actually quality. So I'm
that's
really
exciting.
Glad for that.
I am very curious what the budget on this is, though. When you look at the budget, as I mentioned earlier, with Lord of the Rings being the most expensive produced show ever, I'm wondering what this is in comparison.
Yeah,
that's something I never really looked into, but I'm sure it's got to be up there.
Oh, I'm sure. Maybe they spent it all on the CGI and the effects, but like the makeup for, just talking about the trailer for some of the, we'll say the monsters. because I don't necessarily know what they'll be called. I'm assuming they're going to be using the same name, but some of the monsters in the show look fantastic. Oh, it says right here, $10 million per episode.
Yeah, I was actually just reading. It looks like total in Wheel of Time series is estimated to be worth $100 million.
Oof. Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
So a little over 10 per episode.
It says comparable to Game of Thrones circa season 6. And not far off the budget of the new Lord of the Rings project.
Which, you know, was...
good deal.
Wait a minute. Not far off. I'm looking at it now. Amazon's Lord of the Rings is $465 million.
Wow.
I'm just saying that what it says is not far off. I don't know where that went.
And Ben, you're a Survivor fan, right?
Yes, I am.
So it looks like the creator, Rafe Judkins, was a competitor on Survivor. That's what it looked like to me on IMDb. I thought was really odd.
And who is this? He's a director?
It's the creator, Rafe Judkins, known for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and also a writer on Chuck. So it doesn't have a whole lot, but then it has this weird, like, Survivor credit in there.
He was a contestant.
That's hilarious.
I'm going to have to go back and check this out.
What season was it?
He was a contestant in 2005.
Wow.
Which was... Season 9 or 10.
No, that's season 11.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Survivor's been around that long?
Yeah, and they do two seasons a year.
Okay.
Yeah, right. They do two a year. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they're in season 41 right now.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That's hilarious.
I'm going to have to go revisit that to see if I know who he is. That's funny.
Yeah, that's actually really, really entertaining.
He's not the first person I've seen on Survivor that I've seen in other things. Like, I've seen actors from other shows and movies appear as contestants on Survivor.
Yep.
So I am looking. That's funny, though. Apparently, Rafe Judkins also is one of the credited writers on the new Uncharted movie.
So I recognize him. I just looked up his picture. I do recognize him from Survivor. That's funny.
Yeah.
All right.
And you said he's one of the writers on Uncharted as well?
Yep. Yeah, there are three credited writers, and he was one of them.
Cool. Yeah, I do remember him as on Survivor. That's funny. I'm glad you brought that to my attention, Wendy. I had no idea.
Well, I read it, but I couldn't find anything specific about it. And then I knew you would know because I know you love Survivor.
Mm-hmm. I've watched all 41 seasons, and I've almost been on three of them.
Nice.
I've auditioned 3 times, and I made it as an alternate my 3rd time.
Great.
Nice.
So I plan to audition again when I get in better shape.
That's fair.
Maybe Rafe will be there. It'll be All Stars or something.
I think he has appeared on All Stars as well.
Wow.
On one of the All Stars too. Anyway, enough about Survivor.
All right. You guys have any other notes or anything else you guys wanted to mention?
I like the fact that we're taking this from a 3-tier approach. You know, you seem, Greg, to be going into this as close to the resident expert as possible, having read all the books a number of times. And you say you haven't read them since like 2018, and that you make that sound like that was so long ago.
I mean, it was like 3 years
ago. I mean,
it was
only 3 years, but still. You know, and you've got me as the middle of the road, having read some of the books and remembering some of it, and then Wendy completely fresh, going in as a complete newcomer.
I am.
And it can be very different for, especially when I hear you talk about these books, Greg, I can tell, like, it's a beloved book from your formative years of, you know, growing up. And I remember that's how I felt about Handmaid's Tale, and it took me a few episodes to accept this alternate reality of the show. So I'm curious what that will be like for you, Greg.
Yeah, I'm looking for, like I said, I'm looking forward to hearing your point of view as someone who is just like, oh, well, this is a thing that looks really cool. I'll say proud to say is that I can take things and not necessarily be disappointed in them, even if I, you know, revere the source material. I feel like I'm pretty fair when it comes to, okay, this is the story that you're telling. Okay. whatever. Like, I'm not gonna argue with you. It's your story. I am not one of the many people who will, you know, tear apart something like The Stand or something when something doesn't go the way that they particularly like.
I love
like
how
it.
You went right to The Stand, right to The Stand on that one.
I don't know anybody like that.
But yeah, so I'll be honest, I'm just glad to see that someone is putting the time, effort, and money into it to make it worthwhile. Because I don't think that I would be furious if they went in and didn't make the investments.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think when it comes to Wheel of Time, if there was ever any studio that was going to make this into a live action, there really are only three I kind of really trust or would have trusted to do it. Amazon being one, HBO and Netflix being the other two.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I think that those three have proven their willingness to not just open the pocketbook, but to give it a chance and to like not, you know, let it flop at the end. Like, I know that Netflix does typically they're not a, hey, we're going to have a show on for 9 seasons. They'll do 3 and then wrap it up because they want to have a beginning, middle, and end of a story. Stranger Things is on, they're coming up on season 5 now?
I think it's season 4.
Okay, yeah, it's 4.
So season 4, and it's been 5 or 6 years. I mean, these kids are basically now in their mid-20s, still playing, 14-year-olds.
I don't think they're that old. I get the point you're making.
Yeah, I mean, but fortunately, we don't have kids in this, and if this does turn into another Wheel of Time, if it turns into another Game of Thrones, that you can get these guys relatively cheaply, and I love the fact that we are getting in on the ground floor on this and getting in before it starts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, to make another comparison, not in epicness, but in storytelling, this could be another, I mean, granted, I'm comparing a television series to a movie series, but Harry Potter as well.
Yep.
Harry Potter was 7 books that went into 8 movies.
Yep.
And this is 14 books that, if they're doing 2 books a season, could run for at least 7 seasons.
So I really, and I don't mean to speak ill of anyone, because these characters and these scenes are, the children of Robert Jordan, but he definitely got wrapped around his own axle a couple of times in the books towards the latter half of the series, and he it definitely slowed down because he got wrapped in like the details of a culture or the scenery or the dresses, kind of the same way that George R. R. Martin talks about food in A Song of Ice and Fire. He talks about clothing and the colors and the fabrics, 4 pages that could literally be like on screen, be like, oh, that's a fancy looking dress. Yes, it is.
Well, cool. Seconds.
That could be a good reason why they are able to cover 2 books in 1 season, is because you're taking out all of those details and you're letting them speak for themselves visually.
Yep.
You don't have to describe them because they're right there in front of you for you to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope that they don't go the route of The Dark Tower. And
all 4 books?
Yep, all 4 books. They don't go the route of the Dark Tower movie and, like, in a season, leave it in a place where they could potentially just, wrap it up. That would be, again, wildly disappointing. I hope that there's, like, another season greenlit soon, because you need to get hot on that.
I would not be surprised if we hear confirmation of a season 2 right after the first 3 episodes drop.
Right.
I think they want to see what the reaction is going to be before they make that announcement.
I would think this would be, they'd be in for the long haul. You're taking on a series like this.
I can only
probably
hope.
Knowing that. Yeah.
I'm hoping for at least 5 seasons. You know, as far as like my hopes and dreams and whatnot, I'm hoping for at least 5 seasons. And you could cut out a lot of the major events, and still tell a very, very quality story. You could probably condense it down into, you know, 7 or 8 books, and just take out some of like the kind of the minor storylines, similar to what Game of Thrones did, with the source material that they had. And they just remove some storylines or combine some characters, and, you know, you're going to piss off a few people with that. But I mean, if you're still giving a quality story, then I don't really care.
Yeah. I mean, and the one thing that this series does have over Game of Thrones is that the story has been told.
Right.
We're not still waiting on 2 more books for the story to wrap up, which I'm sorry to say, I don't think we're ever going to get.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. I would tend to agree with you.
I think...
Unless someone else writes them.
Yeah,
unless if they're written by somebody else.
And we go the route of Brandon Sanderson.
Is he still available?
I'm fairly confident he is. He's relatively young. I think he's only in his 50s.
There you go. There's hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, this does have that advantage of the story having been told already, mm-hmm. to its completion. So the source material is 100% there. They don't have to worry about surpassing a point where they have to go to the author and say, hey, what were your plans?
Right.
And we're going to divert from the original story because the original story is completed.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with you.
We discussed earlier that we will be doing the typical House Podcastica format where we will each have a top 3 highlights of the episode that we're watching.
No, that summarized it pretty well. I have nothing else.
Any additional notes?
More to add on to that?
Yeah, any additional notes that we have? So it will sound pretty familiar to other House Podcastica shows.
Yeah, and one of our favorite parts of the podcast to listen to, or at least my favorite parts, is the feedback section. So if you would like to leave us feedback on your hopes and dreams for the series, you can write in or record a voice message and send it in. You can email it to us at talk@podcastica.com.
We'll also put up a post for each week's episode on the Podcastica Facebook page, where you can leave us feedback, and that can be found at facebook.com/podcastica.
We're also on Twitter, and our Twitter is @podcastica. And be sure to check out our other great podcasts at podcastica.com. What are we covering right now? There's so much.
There's so much. Lock and Key on Strange Indeed.
Yep.
Fear the Walking Dead, sort of, and World Beyond on the Walking Dead cast.
Sort of.
We'll be covering The Wheel of Time on House of Castica.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
there's a lot of great shows coming up.
Yeah.
And I think also on House Podcastica, I think right after we're done with Wheel of Time, I think Jason and Rima and Eric are diving right back into Cobra Kai, because I think Cobra Kai is New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. I can't remember.
I feel like between The Wheel of Time, Book of Boba Fett, and
I forgot about Book of Boba Fett
and Cobra Kai, we're going to have 2 or 3 podcasts being released on House Podcastica feed, a week.
Weekly, yeah.
Maybe for a week or 2 overlap.
Yeah. And I think we should also mention, too, that when it comes to us with Wheel of Time, we're going to try our best, because those first 3 episodes are released all at one time, we're not going to cover all 3 in one episode. We want to give each episode its proper due. So we're going to try and get you hopefully at least 2 a week until we're caught up to the...
Yeah, hopefully by the 3rd week of release, so the 5th episode, you guys will be able to hear our dulcet tones discussing...
Because as we were talking about before we started recording, 3 episodes in 3 or 4 days is a lot of work, not just from a recording perspective, but from a listener's perspective.
Yes.
It's a lot. So we're going to try and get you at least 2 a week until we're caught up.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. That's our show for the day. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Let the dragon ride again on the winds of time.